Welcome to the Certainty Advice Podcast, where advice starts with your best interests in mind, helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everyone, Jim Stackpool here, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with another in our Certainty Advice Podcast series, where we aim to help as many Australians as possible find the financial certainty they deserve for the money they've been saving, the work they've been doing, as we put hopefully some perspective on the trends that are occurring in the financial advice, financial planning space, and there are many of them, so that we avoid those pitfalls that are being shown up as so prevalent, unfortunately, whilst also understanding that there are great advisors out there giving great advice every day, and we're talking to one of them today, Annette Pulbrook. Our topic today is superannuation, realising the great expectation promised us all by Kelty, Keating, Hawke many, many years ago. However, you know, important recent information in the headlines showing us that even the Reserve Bank Governor, Philip Lowe, who said he's appalled by some of the behaviour covered in the Royal Commission and hopes that whole sector, financial services sector, can focus more on delivering service than trying to make product sales. Other really challenging and unbelievable findings, the trustees for some of these for-profit superannuation funds, the trustees who are looking after your money seem incapable of acting in the best interests of the people like yourself who have money and funds because they're hamstrung because other areas of the same institution and other entities are also dealing with your money. AMP, for instance, who look after, I think, about 2.5 million, I read somewhere, Australians with about 100 billion in superannuation. The trustees of those that fund shown at the Royal Commission were largely unaware of the chronic investment underperformance and, in fact, powerless to stop some of the fee gouging by related parties within AMP had relationships with. So more the need for conversations like this today to help provide some aspects, tips, pointers on how we can realise the expectations that were originally set when we created this superannuation fund. So I am lucky today to talk to Annette Pulbrook, owner and principal of FinBiz Advisors, a great little boutique advisory firm in the northeastern pocket of beautiful and big Lake Macquarie in sparkling Warners Bay. They serve small business, busy families and locals seeking local and valuable advice. So we are talking about realising great expectations from super, particularly in light of the Royal Commission. The key things for me to listen for is Annette's view on what's wrong with the government's approach to super, not just one particular, but their overall attitude to it. Secondly, interesting to listen to Annette's view on treating your super just like another savings account on your iPhone or on your bank app. The other key thing to listen for is Annette's three questions that you need to be able to answer. So, but I started with asking Annette, what's wrong with superannuation in Australia today?
I don't know that there's anything wrong with the super system. I think the government just keeps changing the rules. So there's a lack of, I guess, trust and a lack of certainty with the system going forward. So people are reluctant to use that as a long-term investment tool, knowing that the government's always tinkering and tampering with it. And I guess, too, the level of mistrust has actually been confirmed by the Royal Commission with, I guess, the degree and the extent that people are rorting the system and taking advantage of those who are in a position where they are taken advantage of. So I don't know that there's anything wrong with the super system as such. I think it's the government and I think it's the people on the edges who are doing the wrong thing for the long-term investment of their clients and the general public.
And this is what you're hearing from your clients as they come in and when you're talking super, that's their general sentiment as well?
Yeah, it is. Particularly I deal with a lot of business clients and they're always concerned about what government legislation is going to be. And they look at their business and their related superannuation funds as being their long-term retirement strategy, always being concerned around the changes that the government makes to superannuation. That's really, I guess, what I'm hearing from a lot of my clients. And I think the other thing with superannuation as well is there just seems to be a lack of general education in relation to what superannuation is, what you can and can't do in it. And I think that stems from there's just a lack of education right from day one when someone leaves school. They're not taught anything about financial education at all. So I think it really stems to going right back to grassroots level and these young people that are now entering the workforce, giving them some financial education so they've got the power and the tools to be able to make informed decisions and take control of their future retirement savings as well.
Is any of that education, do you think, linked to the fact that we've been surrounded by product providers as compared to education providers, i.e. advisors really trying to educate their clients on the options as compared to really trying to put their clients into specific products?
Yeah, I think it does stem from products being the driver of it. I think people can see, well, the people that are pushing the products can say they can make the money. They're not interested in giving the education to those that are coming through the ranks. They just want to make the quick buck, and they can't see the longer-term benefit of giving that education and helping someone grow their portfolio. They'll make more money if they actually work with them rather than flogging them a product right here and now.
Because the Royal Commission's put a lot of questions up, probably even more questions in people's minds about trust. With
Absolutely.
The fee for no service report, with the question of governance of directors, with premiums coming out of low-end balances, which I think is going to now be corrected. The government, after 21 years, still hasn't got it right. So apart from education, is it simply a matter of government just get out of the way and let us build a team of advisors, certainty advisors like you've got at FinBiz, that help clients understand the options and the paths they can use with their super?
Yeah, I think that has to be part of it. I think the whole notion of superannuation, I think it's a great notion, but we need to make sure that we're, I guess, getting it to a standard where it's right, allowing people to self-fund their own retirement and have control of their retirement. So let's get that right and then forget about it. Get the government out of the way, let us get in and help clients grow and create their wealth so that they can rely on themselves in the future and not rely on the government. There's such an ageing population and such a reliance on government supporting people as they get older. And I know the clients that I deal with, they don't want to be reliant on the government. So let's get superannuation to the point where the government doesn't tinker with it. It has to be a long-term retirement plan for someone to self-fund themselves rather than relying on the government. And that has to be something that the government looks at in affordability and in the greater economy so that people can look after themselves in retirement rather than relying on government coffers.
Mm. And Annette, there's a lot of disengagement. There's a lot of she'll be right. There's a lot of, oh, you know, I don't see it. I don't really need to manage it. And so often until it's too late. And I think one of the issues we've seen with the Royal Commission is their apathy towards people's superannuation. They couldn't understand the balances. They couldn't understand the statements. They couldn't understand they were paying for things they never got. How do we correct the apathy?
Yeah, there's going to be some people who are never going to be interested. But, I mean, my argument is if someone looks at their member statement and they see a number there, if they had that money sitting in their own bank account, they'd be interested in it. They'd be doing something with it. So why don't people have this connection that the superannuation is actually my money? Every week, every month, my employer is paying money for me into super. That's part of my overall salary package. If it was going into their mortgage or going into their own bank account, they'd be engaged. They'd do something about it. So we've got to get this, I think, changing the way that people think about super. It is their money. They can't use it now, but it's going to benefit their long-term retirement. So I'm not sure how we get that connect, but there has to be some sort of connect that people actually own their superannuation and get engaged and make a difference so that it does affect their long-term future.
Mm. So if you're in charge of superannuation policy in Australia today, Annette, although we don't know actually who that is at the moment, I think in the government, but if you were in charge, what would be the first thing you'd do?
That's a really difficult question. I've thought about that. I guess I would just try and promote a system that truly supports self-funding retirement, to develop it and then don't touch it, so that we've got some long-term strategy in play for, I guess, the long-term financial benefit of the country rather than the short-term revenue grab. I guess, too, that there's so many people that don't have sufficient means to fund their own retirement. So we need to put something in place that's going to make sure that people are engaged and are wanting to grow their superannuation balances so it does support them in the future and support that ageing population. So I'm not sure exactly what I would do to change it. I just think that we need to get the balance right so that people have the trust in the superannuation system so they are comfortable in investing and putting more money in there, knowing that it is going to be there for their benefit when they do need to draw on it in retirement. Probably the only other one thing that I might do would be to say, well, when you start your working life, you've got one super account and that follows you everywhere, rather than people having several different accounts. I think that creates disengagement and mistrust in the system that there's people with 4, 5, 6, 7 account balances. So having one account that follows you all the way through life, and then you can take a bit more control over it as well.
Yeah. So what do you think anyone listening to this with a superannuation balance, what are those three questions that they need really to have answers to feel effectively more in control, I suppose, of their superannuation? Are there three specific questions that you think anyone with super needs to know?
Yeah, I think someone needs to know, if I want to live on, say, X amount of dollars when I retire, how much money do I need to have in my superannuation balance at that point when I do need to draw on it? So you've got to have a goal. It's, I guess I would liken it to the Apollo spaceship when they had to keep adjusting their course to reach the moon. We've got to keep adjusting our retirement savings through the course of our life so that we do reach our retirement target. If we don't know what our target is, we're never going to get there. So I think actually knowing how much you need to have in your superannuation balance would be the first thing. Again, as I said before, what would you do if you had that amount of money in, that you've got in super in your personal bank account? If you were interested in that being in your personal account, why aren't you engaged in that now and doing something to make that work for you? And I guess thirdly, for me, superannuation, it's not about what product, it's about what you're going to achieve in life and what you want to reach in life. And looking forward into that is, do you know what's going to happen to your superannuation when you die? So they're probably the three questions that I would say are important to know. Not about what your earnings are or how it's invested. It's more, I guess, the real emotional questions in life as well.
So this superannuation pile's only going to grow, approximately 2 point something trillion already, 4 trillion in 10 years, and another 10 after that, $9 to $10 trillion. It sounds pretty good. Are there any big unintended consequences of this if we keep going the way we're going?
Oh, I think there's always going to be the unintended consequence of inefficiency and greed. I mean, we've seen that with the Royal Commission now, that people have taken advantage of the system. We just need to make sure that, I guess, there's systems and procedures and checks and balances in place so that there isn't that inefficiency and that incredible greed that's been shown through the Royal Commission. That would be my biggest concern. When you've got big numbers like this, there's always going to be tinkering around the edge and always people going to be doing the wrong thing. But let's make sure that's the minority, not the majority, as we've seen recently.
Mm-hmm. And I think, obviously, the growth of great firms like yourselves, FinBiz, where we're unbiased, no perceived or real conflict, and the advice helping people make those right decisions is obviously core to all that. To cater that inevitable greed, which is just a human trait, but it's been so exposed, I suppose, in this Royal Commission.
Mm. Yes, scarily so.
There you have it, plain talking, a clear and articulate Annette Paulbrook, principal of FinBiz Advisors up there in Warners Bay. What are your takeaways from that? I pick three. Number one, we should only have one super account. It makes absolute sense. We get disenfranchised when we get all these different super accounts. I know with my kids, they don't know which super account they're on top of at any one point in time. It's a ridiculous system. And I know they are moving to fix that, but that's pointed out by Annette. Number two, though, we should at least determine, and this shouldn't be guesswork, this is something you get some advice on, should at least determine, have a rough idea of what that magic figure is. And the next point, what's the magic figure that you want, that you think you'll need for retirement? Hope is not a strategy, I think she may have said. The whole having an understanding what that number is and then starting to understand what your options are. But don't leave that one up just to a guess or a conversation in a pub. And the third thing, inevitable but well stated, greed. As the super funds just grow and grow and grow, as we put more and more of our 9%, 9.5% and even more into super, and it's going to grow to big numbers, greed will continue. So having confidence in someone who can deliver value, whom you trust, of course, is going to be an absolutely necessity, I believe, as per what Annette suggests, to avoid someone else's greed taking advantage of your money. So I hope that's been helpful to help you understand your best interest, help you understand how you can get the returns you deserve for the work you've been putting into your own superannuation. But another great advisor, as there are many, changing hopefully the perception of what professional advice is, giving real and no real or perceived conflict in any of the advice from FinBiz Advisors by a great team that simply each and every year tries to keep you on the best possible path to achieve what is fundamentally valuable to you. Love to hear your feedback on this one. Jim Stackpole, signing out. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Certainty Advice Podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access all the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, please head on over to seekingcertainty.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. Seekingcertainty.com.